Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Percent of evangelicals say they believe spiritual energy is located in mountains and trees. A similar number say they believe in astrology. And we see even higher figures among other Christian groups.
It sends a message again, lesbian Episcopalians, that there are no barriers to them in our church. In our church, we're open and receptive to people.
The lights are beautiful. We decorate our homes. We sing songs. We play the game dreidel.
The world is waiting for a proper deal here. We don't have time, and we have only this one world, you know. If it goes, we're all done.
But it's commonplace nowadays, and for the last, couple months, since the stores all switched to Christmas and pre-Christmas marketing, to hear Christians complain about the secularization of Christmas in our culture. Now, there's no doubt about it. There are those out in our culture who would rather see any vestiges of Christ or of Christian teaching taken out of the holiday celebrations. There are those. There are atheists. There are skeptics. There are anti-Christmas zealots, to be sure. They are few and they are far between, but they are there, no doubt. And yet, is that the real problem? And is that the real root cause of the secularization of Christmas, not only in our culture, but increasingly more and more in our churches? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll do a short interview with Colleen Carroll Campbell talking about the secularization of Christmas and the Christmas wars here in this hour of Issues Etc. Then we're going to spend the rest of today's program talking to Ron Rhodes about the beliefs and the practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Our call-in number for you, live this Thursday afternoon, the 17th of December, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a regular guest. She's a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Todd.
You write that the atheists and the secular, anti-Christmas zealots aren't the real problem when it comes to what you call the Christmas wars or the secularization of Christmas this time of the year. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean by that is I think none of this could have happened without Christian complicity, and that is turning the religious holiday of Christmas into a secular buying frenzy, and sort of an orgy of shopping madness. And I think when you look at the percentage of Americans who claim religious affiliation as Christians, we have to admit that we have the vast majority of the problems are due to Christians themselves deciding that buying and shopping and consuming are more important than celebrating the true meaning of Christmas.
You write about a recent Pew Forum poll about the religious views of Americans. What did you discover there that you found instructive on this subject?
Well, it was interesting. There were two things that were really striking about this poll. The first is what a large percentage of practicing Christians believe in essentially New Age or pagan or Eastern beliefs on everything from the afterlife to astrology. There were 22% of Christians in this poll said they believed in reincarnation. 23% followed astrology. 23% believed that spiritual energy resides in trees and crystals, that sort of thing. There was a comparable percentage, slightly lower, that believed in the casting of curses, in ghosts, and believed that they had been in presence of ghosts. And 14% said they sometimes consult fortune tellers or psychics for guidance in life. These are not atheists. These are not secularists. These are professing Christians. So I think that's something we really need to look at. I don't think it's news to many of us. But it is kind of appalling how high the numbers are. And what I mean by the syncretism charge is simply that so many Christians are picking and choosing kind of mixing and matching beliefs, often that totally contradict one another. I mean, you can't really be a confessing Christian and also believe in reincarnation. So there's that problem. But then there's also this consumption approach to Christianity and to religion in general. This consumeristic approach is really the better term for it. And that is that so many of the Christians that were polled by Pew said that they hopscotch from different worship places on a regular basis, and many attend religious services in a religion outside their own, not simply for weddings or funerals, but frequently. And so there's, again, this spiritual marketplace in America. Sometimes it's part of our religious vitality in that you have to compete if you want to get your religious message across. The downside, though, is that so many Americans are kind of dabbling in this, dabbling in that, being spiritual dilettantes without ever really committing to a serious engagement with one religious and moral tradition. And in this case, of course, the vast majority of Americans do claim to be Christian, even as they are sampling all over the cafeteria, I guess you could say, in a way that I think is not really the mark of mature religious experience. Everyone seeks. There's a role for seeking in the spiritual life, but there's also a time that comes to commit, to decide what you believe and try to live it well instead of simply just hopping around depending on your mood or your whim.
You write about that unwillingness to wholeheartedly commit oneself to a belief system, and you say that in a democracy that depends in some ways on these belief systems for some kind of moral regulation, that can be a dangerous thing. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean by that is we often think in our pluralistic society that the more you sample other religious traditions, the more you accept all different, even conflicting beliefs, the better citizen you're going to be. Well, of course, there's a role for understanding others, for empathy, for trying to educate yourself on what others believe and not being intolerant for intolerance's sake. But there's also a role for committing to a religious tradition, to a set of moral absolutes that you're going to live by. They're not all equal, of course, but commitment to a religious tradition often serves as a stabilizing force in the lives of citizens. It allows us to become anchored in a particular faith community, to be guided by moral norms that don't change whenever our mood changes, and to hold us accountable to someone other than ourselves. I mean, those are all of the functions of a religious community. So when we see more and more Americans drifting away from community and doing a do-it-yourself approach to spirituality and religion, I think we have reason to be concerned not only from a spiritual perspective, but from a practical one in terms of our public life.
It sounds as though those Christians who might worry and wring their hands over whether or not the nativity scene will appear on the lawn of their town hall or something like that, may be holding what secular society to a higher standard than their fellow Christians.
I think that's right. I mean, I really believe that the real war on Christmas isn't about where we put the manger scene. I do think symbolism is important. I do think it's silly when the American Humanist Association or ACLU goes to war on a little manger scene in a town hall square. I do think that's silly, but I think what's more important is this battle that's going on in the hearts of Christians across America about what that manger scene really means and how much it really matters. We say that we want to keep Christ in Christmas as we scurry to the mall and spend the vast majority of our Advent buying, getting so caught up in the consume and produce cycle and more just the consumptive side of it, that we lose sight of what this is all about. And we actually squeeze out a lot of time to worship. We don't have that time for worship, for charity, for spending time with our family because we're so busy doing, and doing things that really maybe when some of these traditions began had a lot to do with the message of Christmas and slowly have gotten so far away from it that a day like Black Friday has in some ways become more important to many Americans, sadly maybe even many American Christians, than Christmas itself.
With only about 30 seconds, Advent used to be, in both of our traditions, a penitential season. It really did. It wasn't a season for maxing out the credit cards. Your thoughts there?
Well, that's exactly right, and we've basically skipped right over Advent. When Christmas season begins the day after Halloween, you know, you're in trouble. And, you know, I think we really need to recover the tradition of Advent, the practice of waiting on the birth of Christ and waiting in expectation and joy and hope, but yes, also with a spirit of penance and a sense that you know, this isn't our final destination, and we don't celebrate Christmas either before the day itself. We have to remember, of course, the 12 days of Christmas begin with Christmas. They don't end there. So there are a lot of ways we can do this, practically speaking, from little stuff like not playing the Christmas jingles beginning after Halloween to focusing more on spending time with our kids and our families instead of buying stuff. There's a new website, AdventConspiracy.org. It's a group of Christians who are trying to promote this idea of giving more but spending less this holiday season. And I think it's a great idea. And I think we as Christians need to take responsibility for the secularization of Christmas and reversing it by how we spend Advent in our own families and homes.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a regular guest, a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you can read her columns right at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks, Colleen.
Thank you, Todd.
I think that's right. Let's not hold the culture, civil society, to a higher standard on Christmas than we hold the church, than we hold our fellow Christians. It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it, to say that civil society, the government, needs to recognize what the church sadly fails to recognize most of the year. Go into a lot of Christian churches, you'll find pulpits filled with all sorts of preaching of the Christian rather than the Christ. Jesus gets honorable mention right around Christmas time, and then once Christmas is over and fades from memory for another year, he goes out the window too. Some churches cancel Christmas services altogether. Why? Well, it's kind of inconvenient. People want to celebrate at home. Well, you can celebrate at home and at church as well. So let's not hold the culture to a higher standard than we hold our fellow Christians and the church. If we want Christ kept in Christmas, then let's keep Christ in the church every Sunday. It's not a bad idea. When we come back, we'll talk about the teachings and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Dr. Ron Rhodes will be our guest.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, etc.